This is Andrew Phipps. Welcome to Faith, Family, and Freedom. What an honor to be with you here today, and hopefully something might be communicated that would be wholesome and beneficial. Perhaps it might be inspirational, educational, and our desire is to do what we can as Christians to not only stand for the faith of our fathers, but to stand for traditional values like monogamous marriages, one man, one wife, and to stand against the culture today that seems to have gone insane. It's amazing to me that what we always just took as common sense has become so uncommon. People today are advocating things that are just ludicrous. You would think that people have lost their minds when you analyze what people are trying to do and emulate, talking about being fur creatures and wanting to have provisions made like if you were feeding a cat or a dog, and college campuses that have gone completely berserk with insanity. People that supposedly are getting degrees and maybe in the study of the philosophy of some culture, and then they wonder why we can't get jobs. And so many don't want jobs. They think it's beneath the dignity, the value of work, the work ethic, things that we just used to embrace, things that everybody thought were just common. Patriotism, love of God, Christian values, our educational system. And I was talking with my daughter not long ago, and she's a high school principal in a Christian school. And we were talking, and she said, "Dad, we've always indoctrinated in schools, but used to be we inculcated and we told people Christian values. In the early schools, like the Bayssom Reader, the New England Primer, those were books that we called didactic, that had moral lessons in them. Theodore Roosevelt said to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. We taught people things that would be helpful in life, good manners, the idea of respect, the idea of having a healthy regard for the home and your families and love of parents and so on. Now today we seem like that we have forsaken all of that. It surely is pointing to a time when we are living in post-Christian America. I've said it repeatedly, I'll say it again. I think that Christianity can survive without America. But I do not believe that America can survive without Christianity. The foundational truths that we had for so many years, the ideas that we built upon biblical principles, the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, the idea that we ought to respect God, and the idea that the Lord was central to all of our institutions. Those were the bedrocks upon which this great republic was built. You know, the idea in the Declaration that we have a divine creator, that didn't just come from some legislative mandate. Even President John Kennedy said this. He said, "Our rights didn't come from the generosity of the state. They came from the hand of God." God organized and instituted government. In the book of Exodus, he told Moses' father-in-law, told him how to divide the people into thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And he said, "Look out men that are able men, men of truth, men that love God and hate covetousness." But unfortunately today, seem like we have gone, I call it digressed. It's not been progressive. We have digressed. We've put people into office. They have embraced power. That's why they don't want term limits. The swamp and all that goes with that, they promote power regardless. I think they're more interested in keeping their power than they are in trying to help the American people. Harry Truman, I have great respect for the haberdasher from Missouri, the 33rd president. He said, if a man profits monetarily from being in public office, you could normally say that he's a crook. Well, I think there may be truth in that. Whatever happened to the idea that a public office is a public trust? Also, I think we need pastors today that will inform their people. You know, when Ahab, the most wicked king in all of Israel, met Elijah, he said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Evidently, Elijah had done something that provoked and got the attention of the king. I'm not saying that we change the message in the church, which always a message of salvation, telling people, men, women, boys, and girls, that they can have life and have it more abundantly in Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. But by the same token, I think that we that are in pulpits have a responsibility also to speak out against the issues of the day, like abortion on demand, homosexuality, telling people that it's an alternative lifestyle, the idea of transgender transformation, the idea that we ought to take little boys and girls and make them into something they were never intended. This is why I'm passionate about faith, family, and freedom, and I'm glad you're with us today.
Treasures awaiting. just too much to gain to lose. Too much to gain. Too much to gain. There's just too much to gain.
God bless you. That's my testimony.
Dottie Rambo.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
This question, which is, why are you so interested in this biblical story as opposed to any other biblical story?
Well, that is because, first of all, Jesus believed in the flood model, and it's the basis for the entire authenticity of the Bible. If you can prove that the Genesis story is false, you have destroyed the entire belief system that on which Christianity is based. So that's why we use this model to show people that Noah's Ark was real and that the story is true.
Well, couldn't the story have been symbolic, metaphor for other kinds of events that took place? How about creation? Couldn't that have been symbolic or metaphorical in the language that's there?
Well, it is possible, but when we look at the four postulates of creation and we compare them with the four postulates of evolution, only the postulates of creation have been observed. Evolution is based on four major ideas. None of them have ever been observed. Number one, that life comes from non-life. We have not one single example of life coming from non-life. Number two, that all the life forms that we have today came from single-cell life forms. Many people do not know that while we do have single-cell life forms that we call bacteria, we have no two-celled life forms, we don't have three-cell life forms, we don't have four-cell life forms, we don't even have five-cell life forms. That is, we go from single-cell bacteria to complex life forms. So there's no evidence that all life comes from single-cell life forms. The third postulate of evolution is that time and chance drive evolution forward, of course, and time works against evolution. The chance of one simple 100-unit protein coming together by accident is, this is a very big number. Time and chance make evolution absolutely impossible. The fourth postulate that evolution is based on is that what we see today minor genetic variation in species is evidence of macroevolution. So because cats are different colors, dogs are different sizes, that means that fish turned into cows. And of course, we know that that's not true because Mendel proved that all the genes that exist today, you can shuffle them around, but there are no new genes that were created. Let's think about the four major postulates of creation. Number one, where there's a design, there must be a designer. We see codes in DNA. Codes are evidence of intelligence because you have to translate from one language to another. We have not a single example of that happening by accident. Number two, that the Earth, the solar system, the universe, and the galaxy are young, measured in thousands of years, not millions or billions of years. Many times people ask me, they say, well, Major, you believe in a young Earth, a 6,000-year Earth. Can you show me that that's true without using the Bible? And I say, absolutely. What's the oldest living thing on the planet? The oldest living thing on the planet? Trees. How old are the oldest trees? 4,500 years. That takes us back almost exactly to the year of the flood, okay, in 2500 BC.
Remarkable.
Number two, I'm saying, look at the sky. We call solar nebulae. A solar nebulae is what we see from a supernova when a star explodes. It leaves a gas cloud. Because of our radio telescopes that we have now today, we can look deep into space and we can actually count the number of solar nebulae that are there. And how many are there? A supernova takes place about once every 26 years. How many solar nebulae do we have? 6,000 years worth. That's impossible in a universe that is billions and billions of years old. And we have other evidences, such as alpha decay that we do in our program, that most people don't understand, that also shows that the Earth is 6,000 years old. So that's the second postulate, proves that the biblical story of creation is true. Life that we see today are the basic kinds of animals and plant life that were originally created. So we can test that. You can breed dogs, you can breed cats, but you can't breed cats with dogs. So there are limits to how far we can go. And lastly, that is, Earth experienced a worldwide flood in approximately 2500 BC, 1656 years after the world was created. The world is filled with limestone. Limestone is sedimentary rock. It precipitates out of water. The entire Earth was filled with water. Every mountain chain in the world, including Everest, has sea life on top of that mountain. The mountains rose out of the water, so we know that there was a worldwide flood.
Let me pose a question to you, and Mark and Lise, feel free to jump in this. And that is this. Most people who don't believe in God aren't card-carrying members of the Atheist Club. They haven't studied molecular biology.
Yes.
Why don't they believe in God? What is the struggle there?
Neil, I'm going to tell you, that's a very good question. My answer to that is probably because most of them has not actually seen the evidence that supports the Bible. And that is my job, to actually show them. You're right. Most people are somewhere drifting, somewhere in the middle. This is a war for ideas. And it's my job to combat these forces of error, particularly in secular campuses and in universities, which is where I work and teach, and show that the evidence supports God's word. God is a God of science.
That's fantastic. Pose this question to you guys. Say someone grows up going to a Christian church. Say they have been surrounded by, you know, a church community and pastors who preach sermons. Are there wrong ideas of God that exist? Wrong ideas of the Bible that exist?
Well, certainly they do exist. And they exist in church. Many people don't know that some of the largest religious denominations actually support evolutionary theory. And I'm really sorry to hear that. It is important that people test any church that they go to against the Bible to make sure that it is accordance with the truths of the Bible. Jesus believed in the flood story. And he said that he was coming again and it would be just as in the days of Noah. So if Jesus believed it, it's very difficult for me to understand how you could call yourself a Christian if you don't understand or accept the story of Noah's flood and the creation story. And of course, it's important to understand the science that goes along with.
You see that camera right there? There are people who are watching right now. There are people who are struggling with their faith in God. If you were to look at that camera right there and you were to talk to someone who was struggling, who's maybe a skeptic, someone wrestling with doubt, what would you say to them?
I would say, hold on. The evidence is there. God is interested in you. He respects who you are. If you read, if you study, if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. He has promised you that. The evidence is there, and I am here to help.
Imagine being alive in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, a time of dramatic changes. Amidst these transformations, cultures were blending, fueling global innovation. This backdrop framed Albert Einstein's incredible life, marking history. A man who needs little introduction was a physicist who gave the world the theory of relativity. Born in Germany, his inquisitiveness led him to discoveries that revolutionized science. He demonstrated exceptional grasp on math and physics early on, setting the stage for his notable milestones included his work on relativity and winning the 1921 Nobel Prize in Physics. He challenged conventional physics, broadening human knowledge. Yet, despite his significant contributions, he remained modest. His relentless pursuit of knowledge stemmed from a deep-rooted curiosity. But Einstein wasn't just a brilliant scientist, he was also a man of curiosity and wonder. Here's a fun fact. Einstein didn't learn to speak until he was 4 years old. His delayed speech ignited unparalleled thinking. Einstein's late start in speaking certainly didn't hold him back from changing the world with his theories. Einstein once said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge." His theories were born out of creativity. You might be the next person to change the world.
And they had hooks in the ceiling that they tied parachute cord to, and they would truss you up. Whatever injury or ailment was, they would use that against you. The first years there were very brutal. I didn't think I'd be a POW very long, but, you know, 6 years later, I got out. Probably the greatest day of our lives was when we lifted up out of Hanoi on that C-141, we lifted up. The airplane erupted into cheers and tears, and it was a magnificent flight to Clark. Getting back to America and resuming a healthy life in the greatest country on earth is a blessing every day that I've been back.
And friends, let me also tell you that we have a podcast every Tuesday night, 9:05 Eastern Time, and it's on BBS. That's BBS Radio, and you can see it, you can hear it. We have great guests that are scheduled, and we're going to do our best to speak clearly and with clarity, also with conviction, hopefully with compassion about what we see today, and it'll embrace a whole spectrum of topics. Faith, family, freedom. Those are three words that are certainly dear to my heart today. And also, I'd like to come into your area sometime. If you're in a fundamental church, our church is Liberty Baptist Church in Muncie, Indiana. We're just an old-fashioned King James Bible church. And if you ever would like to think that we might be a part of your service, get in contact with us. It's always a joy, a blessing to be with you, our friends. What an opportunity that the Lord has given to us. I feel like I've had a front row seat at the American Experience. Also, if you'd like to have our book, It's Always a Struggle, well, you can go to the PayPal, go to the website, Phipps Faith Family Freedom, or you can get in touch with us as indicated on the screen. It'll be a help to our ministry, and I think you'll enjoy the book. It has a lot of life stories, how that I personally dealt with some things. Maybe they might be germane to you, might be relevant, but regardless, I think you can benefit from the reading. I look forward to being with you. Tell others about it. We want to have a program that can help people. And I'll look forward to being with you again as soon as possible. But until that familiar time, this is Andrew Phipps saying, have a good day. God bless you.